Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Here in the headlines this Monday, April 29th, Pope Francis invites consecrated religious to open their arms to the poor in conformity to their unique charisms, and hundreds of parish priests gather near Rome to reflect on their synodal mission. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis met today with participants in the separate general chapters of the Canossian Fathers and the Montfort Brothers of St. Gabriel. The chapters are taking place as the two religious congregations celebrate the anniversaries of the births of their founders, the Italian Saint Magdalene of Canossa and the French Saint Louis-Marie de Montfort. In his address, the Pope urged the religious men to open their arms to the poor with courage and to value the richness of diversity. Lisa Zangarini reports.
Introducing his address, Pope Francis highlighted how general chapters are true moments of synodality and grace, to be lived first of all in docility to the action of the Holy Spirit, gratefully remembering the past, paying attention to the present in mutual listening and in reading the signs of the times, and looking to the future with an open heart. Then, pointing to the theme chosen for their chapter, Pope Francis urged the Canossian Fathers to carry out their mission of serving the poor through education and charity with fervent ardor.
La tristezza quando vedo religiosi che sembrano più vigili del fuoco.
It makes me sad, he said off the cuff, to see religious people who look more like firefighters than men and women with an ardor for setting fires. The Pope further encouraged them to overcome the new challenges their mission faces today by fixing their gaze on Jesus crucified and on the eyes and wounds of the poor as their foundress did in her times. Saint Magdalene, he said, showed you how to overcome difficulties with your eyes turned to the crucifix and your arms open to the least, the poor and the sick. Turning to the Montfort brothers of St. Gabriel, Pope Francis then spoke about listening and acting with courage, which is the theme of their chapter. The Pope remarked that these two attitudes require humility and faith and well reflect the spirit and action of their co-founders.
La uniformità uccide, la diversità in armonia fa crescere.
Uniformity in a religious institute, a diocese, or in a lay group kills, he said. Instead, diversity in harmony makes us grow. I am Lisa Zangarini.
The Vatican has released the program for Pope Francis's pastoral visit to Verona, which is set for May 18th. As Joseph Tulloch reports, the Pope will head to the northern Italian city to take part in a manifestation for peace.
On Saturday the 18th of May, which will be the eve of the Feast of Pentecost, Pope Francis will visit the northern Italian city of Verona. His visit has been given the theme Justice and Peace Will Embrace, a quotation from Psalm 85. Francis will depart from the Vatican heliport in a helicopter at 6:30 a.m, landing in Verona at 8 a.m. He will be greeted by the city's main political and religious figures, including the local bishop, the president of the Veneto region, and the prefect and mayor of Verona. Immediately after his arrival, the Pope will travel to the Basilica of St. Zeno for a meeting with priests and with consecrated persons, delivering his first speech. Following this, in the square in front of the church, the Pope will meet with a group of children and young people. And at 10:15 a.m, the Pope is scheduled to arrive at Verona's Arena, where he will preside at a gathering entitled Arena of Peace, Justice and Peace Will Embrace. During the event, he will answer some questions from attendees. This Arena of Peace is an initiative organised by the church and civil society groups together, and it's been active since 1986. The group often comes to the Vatican and has met with Pope Francis there before. After this gathering, Pope Francis will travel by car to the Montorio prison, where he will greet the prison officers, detainees and volunteers. Following lunch with the detainees at 2:30 p.m, the Pope will leave the prison to travel by car to the Bentegodi Stadium to preside over Mass at 3 p.m. 2 hours after that, he will depart for his return to the Vatican, where he's scheduled to arrive at 6:15 in the evening. The details concerning the Pope's upcoming visit to Verona come hot on the heels of his weekend trip to the city of Venice. There too he met with local church officials, including Venetian Patriarch Francesco Moraglia, and with young people. And there too he paid a visit to a prison, taking a look around the Giudecca Women's Prison Facility, which is hosting the Holy See's Pavilion at the Venice Art Biennale, which is currently in progress. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
A senior Hamas delegation is in Egypt for the latest round of negotiations aimed at pausing Israel's war in Gaza. The talks may offer a chance to prevent a looming Israeli ground offensive in Gaza's southern city of Rafah, where half of the territory's population has sought shelter from fighting elsewhere. Linda Bordoni has the details.
The U.S. Secretary of State urged the Hamas leadership to accept what he termed as Israel's generous proposal for a Gaza truce to secure a release of hostages.
The most effective way to address the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, to alleviate the suffering of children, women and men, and to create space for a more just and durable solution, is ceasefire.
Anthony Blinken's words came on Monday during a press conference on the sidelines of a meeting of the World Economic Forum in Riyadh, as Hamas negotiators were preparing to meet Qatari and Egyptian mediators in Cairo. They're expected to deliver a response to the phased truce proposal Israel presented at the weekend, ahead of a threatened Israeli ground assault on the southern border city of Rafah that has been undergoing a barrage of airstrikes that have killed scores of people. The attacks come amid renewed international efforts to broker a ceasefire in the nearly seven-month-old conflict. The latest ceasefire proposal appears to include compromises from Israel, which is under international and domestic pressure over the fate of the hostages and the humanitarian crisis its war has caused in Gaza. Israel is reportedly willing to accept the release of fewer than 40 hostages in exchange for Palestinians held in Israeli jails, and to a second phase of a truce that would include a period of sustained calm, a new response to Hamas's repeated demand for a permanent ceasefire. It's also reportedly open to discussing the return of Palestinians to their homes in the northern half of the Strip and the withdrawal of Israeli troops from a central corridor that now divides the territory. I'm Linda Bordoni.
African leaders are urging wealthier nations to increase financial support to a crucial World Bank initiative. The initiative provides low-interest loans to help developing countries address the pressing challenges of climate change and other socioeconomic inequalities. Francesca Merlo reports.
In a new plea, African leaders are urging wealthier nations to ramp up their financial backing to a critical World Bank initiative. The initiative, at the heart of an appeal on Monday, is designed to furnish low-interest loans to assist developing countries. The leaders' calls underscores the essential role of international solidarity in tackling pressing challenges, and in this case in particular, climate change. For decades, World Bank has served as a lifeline for poorer nations, extending support for development projects across the globe. However, as the climate crisis worsens, and with it wealth disparities, the need for funding has become increasingly urgent. Kenyan President William Ruto said at a meeting of African leaders and the World Bank on Monday, "We call on our partners to join us at this historic moment of solidarity and respond effectively by increasing their contributions." President Ruto cited his own country, Kenya, which is currently facing horrific and deadly flooding. Somalia is another example of a nation grappling with political instability and poverty while suffering the consequences of climate. The recurrent droughts and floods the country suffers wreak havoc on crops and livelihoods, exacerbating food insecurity and displacement. Another suffering nation is Mozambique, where frequent cyclones leave communities vulnerable and struggling to recover. These are just some of the countries in which environmental shifts exert pressure on resources and exacerbate socioeconomic inequalities. The low-interest loans provided by the World Bank are indispensable for many developing nations, enabling them to adapt to climate change and promote sustainable development. African leaders, alongside their counterparts from other developing regions, are urging concrete commitments and actions to address these critical global issues. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Pope Francis has penned the preface to a new book entitled Conversation in the Spirit, The Art of Discernment and the Practice of Synodality. Sister Francine Marie Cooper has the story.
Pope Francis thanks the fathers for sharing the publication with him and praises the fact that the book itself was born from the spiritual conversation between its authors. The book focuses on the methodology adopted by the synodal path, but offers the reader sufficient historical references to grasp the depth of the method and everything it brings into play in order to truly transform itself into an experience of listening to the Spirit. In his preface, the Pope writes that the idea of conversation as pouring into a common channel deserves to be further developed in the future, as it allows different points of view to be brought to enrich the common thread. He recommends that the attitude that is presupposed for a conversation in the Spirit as being that of open and vulnerable listening, and confirms that it is fundamental in order to make us choose and to lead us to concrete decisions. The Holy Father emphasizes in particular the chapter on interior dispositions, stating that listening to the Spirit requires a certain internal attitude, one of emptying oneself in order to be filled by the Spirit. Finally, the Pope acknowledges that the book provides useful material for training in conversation in the Spirit, and expressing gratitude for the commitment of the authors, he assures them that the book will be an excellent help in many ecclesial environments. I'm Sister Francie Marie Cooper.
Some 300 parish priests from around the world have gathered in Sacrofano outside Rome to listen, pray, and discern the question of how to be a local synodal church on mission. The gathering will feature 5 days of discussions, culminating in an audience with Pope Francis on Thursday. In his introductory address, the General Secretary of the Synod, Cardinal Mario Grech, emphasized that the meeting is about listening to priests' stories and helping one another see God's presence.
These days together are about sharing of stories, helping one another see God's presence in our stories, understanding that His providence is still writing the story of the Church of humanity today. You have not come here to receive any teaching or exposition about synodality. Be assured of this. We are not here to teach you. You have come here to tell us your story, because the story of each and everyone is very important. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear how Jesus is working today in you, in your parishes, in your dioceses. They might not be perfect stories, okay, but they are real stories, not fiction. And this is what is most important. It is because your stories are real and not fiction that we want to walk with you, to hear how the Lord is already walking with you, with your communities, today in that part of the world from where you come. My final word, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your story. Thank you for allowing Jesus to walk with you and through you to keep writing the story of the Church today. Thank you.
Thanks there to Cardinal Mario Grech, the General Secretary of the Synod. African Synod delegates have gathered in Nairobi, Kenya for a 3-day seminar to prepare for the second session of the 16th Ordinary General Assembly of the Synod, which is scheduled to take place this October in the Vatican. In his opening remarks, the seminar convener, Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo, expressed gratitude to Pope Francis for maintaining the African number and keeping the same persons as members of the second session of the Synod. The Nairobi seminar, he said, was an opportunity to reflect and share the experiences that have animated the African synodal journey since the first session of 2023. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.